from the book of Acts. Peter began to speak to the people. The message of Jesus Christ spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John. This is what was announced: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. Happy Easter, friends. Thank you for joining us. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the pastor of this beloved congregation. Wherever you're at today, wherever you find yourself, if you're just down the street from us, or if you're across the city in another, if you're in another city, or maybe even another country, another state, we are so glad that you've chosen to be with us today. So if you will check in online, I see several people have already done that. Let us know who you're with, who's sitting around your iPad, your computer, your phone with you this morning. Let us know who is here. Also, now is a good time to remind you that every single week we continue to share communion, the Lord's table, as a congregation, as anybody who is here. So grab some bread, grab some tortillas, crackers, whatever you got. Grab some grape juice, some leftover wine, some water, whatever you got will be just fine. And we'll be sharing communion a little bit later in our service today. Also, we'll have a children's moment later. Hopefully you parents with younger children received a packet in the mail today. You can go ahead and give them that very first Leaves Children's Bulletin. They can start filling that out even as we begin, and definitely through the sermon a little bit later today. Well, one of the great traditions we have here on Easter is honoring and remembering people with Easter lilies. We place a ton of Easter lilies right up front on stage. We name people and place them in our bulletin, people that we want to honor, people that we want to remember. We give in memory of these people. And then we place the list of people in our bulletin, and then the Easter lilies are then taken home or given to people who are shut in or passed along to our neighbors. Well, today, obviously, that is not happening, except that I did purchase two lilies for today. And so here's what I want you to do in a moment, but not yet. I want you to think of two persons, or maybe even two groups of persons, that you want to dedicate these two lilies to. Don't type them yet, because I'm going to tell you about these two lilies first. Okay? Got it? Don't type anything yet. I can see who is typing here. The first is, we'll say this one. Right here is for my friend, Miss Lucy Adkins. 13 years ago, I met Miss Lucy here as a very green minister, coming to Houston, taking my very first job here. She showed up at the door with a friend first week I was here, asking about some bus routes and asking about some bus cards, and we were able to provide that for her. Over the next couple years, she would swing by probably once or twice a month or so and ask for something. Half the time, the other half, she would ask me, "How are you doing? Tell me about how your life is, and how can I pray for you?" And that was it. About 8 years ago or so, she moved away from this neighborhood, but she let me know what apartment she moved to. And through each subsequent move, she let me know where she was going. She would call me and let me know, "I have moved here, I have moved here, I have moved here." And so I'd be able to go and visit her wherever she was. And I would sit in her apartment. She would give me a huge hug and a glass of water. And I would pray over her. As she asked me to, we would talk about life. About 4 years ago, she moved to an assisted living place here in town, down in Sugar Land, actually, and I would still go and visit with her. I would sometimes bring my wife and my daughter. I would always bring pictures, an updated picture of my family, and give that to her, and then her daughter would come by later and tape it up to her wall. Over time, she lost the ability to speak, and most every time I walked in, she was asleep. And her daughter told me, wake her up every time that you go in, and so I did. And even though she was not able to speak, when I woke her up, she would get this massive grin on her face that I promise you was the smile of God. It would stretch from one ear to the next. And as she did that, for however long she did it, 30 seconds, a minute or two, as I showed her the pictures, as I sat there with her, I thought, all is right with the world. Miss Lucy died on March 29th. Her daughter called me at about 11 o'clock at night to let me know. Her funeral was in Mississippi just a couple days ago. So my first lily right here is honoring her for her memory. And the second lily on the other side, that one, is you. I honor you as a church body, people who gather here at Southwest Central Church of Christ, and all of you who are gathering here online today. I honor you not in separate parts, but as a whole body, the body of Christ that meets in this place. I honor you for the ways that you love each other and love our next door neighbors. I honor you for teaching me what the kingdom of God can look like. I honor you for caring for persons who are both vulnerable and poor. I honor you for empowering women to lead and teach and preach in this congregation. I honor you for accepting change even when change is hard. And I honor you for the ways that change will continue to come for us, whatever is next. And so the second lily is for you, church, specifically. What about you? Type in a couple of names or groups of people who you want to honor with these lilies right here. And I'm just going to be quiet for a moment as I'm going to read right along with you as you type. So go ahead, and I'm sure you can see the comments as well as they come across the screen. Yep, Irene and Diana. Yep. Thanks, Carter. Yes, for sure, Martha and Lori. Yes, and Jan's parents, whom I know. Yep, Marie and Marjorie. Yes, Bobby Huebner, Naveline, I see Dot there. Yep, Glenn's parents, I see them. We get to honor them every year, which I'm so thankful for. Yep, there's Mikey. These are going pretty fast, so I'm sorry if I can't see them all at once. I see Kay Pipes there. I see Miracle and Bonnie. Yes. There's Beverly Thetford and Bobby Huebner. There's Jessica. Yep, Becky and Thornley, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Bray's Interfaith Ministry for sure. Don says the staff and shepherds here. Yep, we think about Earl especially. We think about Katie Rice. Yes, we do, Phil. Ellis Durham. These are going to keep coming, and I hope that you keep typing them in. I'm going to stop reading for them for now. I promise to look back at them a little bit later. Right now, Chelsea is going to come and read our psalm for the morning, Psalm 34. she'll light some candles, and then we have a couple of Easter hymns to sing.
Good morning, church family. Our psalm this morning comes from Psalm 34. I will praise the Lord at all times, and I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. As you know, we have been lighting a candle for representing each Sunday that we cannot gather here. And so I am going to light our fourth candle in memory of our spirits that sit in this building. And I look forward to the day that we can gather here and praise Jesus' name as a collective body in person again. Happy Easter, friends.
Today we're going to sing about our risen Lord and praise him. Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumph high, alleluia. Sing ye heavens, thou earth reply, alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, alleluia. Lo, our sun's eclipses o'er, alleluia. Lo, he sets in blood no more, alleluia. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal, alleluia. Christ hath burst the gates of hell, alleluia. Death in vain forbids his rise, alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise, alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, alleluia. Once he died our souls to save, alleluia. Where's thy victory boasting grave, alleluia. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
All right, our youngest friends who are here. This is a great time to look at this Leaves Children's Bulletin that hopefully you got in the mail. Hopefully you're following along. There's even a spot on that top left corner where you can think about who would you give an Easter lily to, and you can write down names in there if you'd like. You saw the psalm that Miss Chelsea read. There's some questions on the front and the back and a fun word search at the bottom. One of the things that Cora, Chelsea, and I are doing during this time of quarantine is we are growing a butterfly garden. We had the full kit, a basket, a few supplies, and we had to order some caterpillars that, yes, got shipped to us in the mail. Over the last week or so, those caterpillars have begun spinning cocoons and placing themselves at the top of this jar that came in our kit. It's been a fascinating process to watch. Along in that kit, we got a packet of seeds. Cora and I, about a week or so ago, we got a jar just like this. And we planted about 5 or 6 seeds in each of those jars. And throughout this last week, Cora has been faithfully watering it every single morning. About 3 or 4 days ago, lo and behold, and believe me, to my complete surprise, seedlings have popped out of that jar. It has been beautiful to watch and so fun to see. And these, perhaps, are where our new butterfly friends, once they expand and grow and gain their wings, will flock to. How cool would that be? Well, hopefully you got a pack of seeds in the mail that looks something like this. All of our young friends got a packet of seeds that look like that. If you want to get those, you can hold them if you would like. This week, I want you to plant those flowers. You can plant them in a jar just like this. You can plant them outside, if you want, outside your house, outside your apartment. What we're going to talk about in just a few minutes is Jesus as a gardener. Jesus as a gardener. As we talk about these things, I want you to think about seeds, the seeds that you will plant, and how you have to bury them, and how perhaps, and surprisingly, something may bloom from it. So for a few moments, I'm going to step aside with my family. How about you, Waseed, just talk about maybe for a minute, where in the world do you think that you as a family can plant your seeds, either today, sometime this week? Got it? Let's do that now. I'll be back in just a moment. All right, hopefully you got a good plan down. Let's pray together as we move into our sermon and text for the day. O God, who has risen and lives among us, pour through me the gift of preaching today. It's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. I once heard a speaker say that Easter Sunday is the Super Bowl for Christians, biggest event of the year for faithful churchgoers. And as such, churches absolutely need to put their best foot forward for all the guests and visitors and family members who drive into town and will be at your church building that day. How you perform, the speaker from up front had said, will go a long way in determining if they ever come back. The analogy, while it has some merits, never really set well with me. I think the word performance might have something to do with that. Well, today, however, the Super Bowl for Christians has been canceled, at least in terms of attendance numbers and membership applications. Church buildings everywhere are empty, discouraging the promise of crowds. And I'll say this, it is so strange me being here in this room this morning with none of you around me in person. 6 weeks ago, at the beginning of Lent, I began sketching out an Easter service that was the centering piece of our God and the Neighborhood series. Everything that we had talked about in John up to this point, it would stream toward Easter. Everything we would talk about next would stem from Easter. Instead, this room in which I sit is empty. I'm preaching toward a computer screen, hoping that you are there, trusting that the Wi-Fi will hold up its end of the bargain. When I stop talking, it's quiet in here. This, I promise you, is unlike any Easter celebration I have ever been to. Probably you as well. Perhaps a gift that we would never ask for on our own. We have a few more similarities now to the very first Easter morning. According to John chapter 20, it was quiet there too. Still nighttime, in fact. It was dark outside. Dawn had not yet begun. John reports a very small gathering of people comprised of one woman and two men. The woman is Mary Magdalene, who is one of Jesus' closest followers. She's awake before the sun is. She is lacing up her sandals. She is leaving the house. She is tripping and stumbling her way over roots and rocks to the cemetery where Jesus' body lay, a cozy spot tucked inside a carved out mountainside, a heavy stone in front of the hole, charged with the double task of keeping the decayed stench out and keeping potential thieves out. Yet by the time that Mary arrives, the stone she sees has failed to do its only job. It's pushed off to the side, leaving Jesus' vulnerable tomb wide open. Sickened with frustration and agony, she dashes off to find the two men. Peter is one, and an unnamed disciple is the other one. She bursts into their sleeping house, Wake up, she says. They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. The men scramble for their own sneakers and all three race to the burial grounds. When they reach the gravesite, Peter ducks and heads inside immediately without pausing to catch his breath. The second disciple follows him in, and sure enough, nobody. All that's left are the clothes and the sheets Jesus was wrapped in, except now they're clean and folded like they've been laundered and pressed and put away in a dresser drawer. As the two men shake their heads and walk back home, something resembling belief arises in at least one of them. But for Mary, it's not that easy. While they leave, she stays. No more running for her, not while she weeps in torrents, right there against the tomb of the one who rescued her, both from demons and despair. The events of the last few days loop in her mind. John's Gospel tells us that Mary Magdalene stood just yards away as Jesus was tacked up there on that cross. Through her tears, she finally bends down to see for herself the aftermath of the shameless thievery. Sure enough, Jesus is gone. But two angelic messengers have taken his place. Why are you weeping? They ask. Even the appearance of angels does not interrupt her pain. Anyway, maybe they are the culprits. They've taken away my Lord, she says, and I don't know where they have put him. Then she turns to leave herself, and as she does, she bumps into one of my absolute favorite parts of all of John's Gospel. She turns to leave, and there before her is Jesus, risen, resurrected in body, except she does not recognize him. How could she? He's not where he is supposed to be. She thinks this man is the landscaper of the cemetery, thinks he's the gardener of all things. Why are you weeping? He asks. Who are you looking for? Is this gardener fellow the robber? Sir, if you've taken him away, please just tell me where you've put him and I will go and get him. And she is not attempting to be funny. She is completely serious. She will go get his body and hoist it up on his shoulders and bring it back to this place. And for the love of God, she will guard it herself if she has to. And then Jesus speaks her name. Oh, Mary, he says. And by speaking her name, the shadows and scales slide off of Mary's eyes. And she can see what her grief preoccupied her from seeing. Rabboni, she says, teacher. He is very much alive. He is not dead, she thinks. And now things can go back to exactly how they used to be, how they once were when everything was easier and reliable and not upsetting like it is right now. But Jesus responds this way. He says, do not cling to me, Mary. Meaning that their relationship cannot pick up where it left off. He cannot go back to his pre-Passion Week, pre-Good Friday self any more than she can. Because this is Easter Sunday and quite a bit has happened since then. The new day has brought new life. Go, tell people, Jesus says. With her running shoes still laced up, she sprints back to the holed-up disciples and she preaches the very first Easter sermon. I have seen the Lord. Whatever it is you are experiencing today, whatever you are feeling this Easter morning, whether you feel joyful or sad or indifferent or some kind of combination of all three, whether you are still in your PJs watching this, or whether you're in a suit and a tie like I am, or you're wearing that new Easter dress that you purchased because you bought it and no virus is going to stop you this morning from wearing it. No matter where you are this morning, hear this. Today we have been reminded that God never guaranteed us full church buildings or packed worship services. God never guaranteed grocery stores that would forever cater to our every desire, or physical bodies that would never give out, or a stock market that would forever multiply. God never guaranteed that life would go on just as we always envision. What we've been promised instead is God's presence, manifested in Jesus the Christ, who with his body embraced death in order to overcome it. What we've been promised is that by standing up out of that grave pit, God declared death and all its many strangleholds, that they no longer have any power over God's people. What we've been promised is a caretaker of the cemetery, the one who does some of his most beautiful and redemptive work in the lonely places we reserve for dead people and dead faith and dead futures. What we've been promised is a landscaping God who keeps quietly rolling away the stones that we keep lugging over our own burial plots, or our neighbor's plots, or even our enemy's plots. What we've been promised is the life of a master gardener, fully intent on watering and cultivating and harvesting the kingdom seeds he himself planted with his own sweat, tears, and blood. And finally, what we've been promised is the resurrected Jesus himself, who is still speaking names. In love beyond all measure, Jesus is speaking your name. Jesus is speaking my name. He is speaking your children's names, the ones right next to you who are coloring on that coloring sheet, and the ones in the picture frames around your living room. He is speaking the names of the ones you honored with Easter lilies just a few moments ago. Because what persuades Mary that Jesus has indeed been risen from the dead is not the absence of his body from the tomb, but his living presence that is right there in front of her, the one who speaks her name in the quiet of the very first Easter morning. He spoke her name, and she could preach, "I have seen the Lord." Sisters, brothers, people of all genders and races and ages and places and circumstances, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Thanks be to the living God. And together we all say or type, amen and amen. One way we keep on hearing the promises of God with each other each week is at the table. We break bread together. We drink from the cup together. Today on Easter, we hear that afresh, don't we? The body of Jesus was broken for our regard. The blood of Jesus was poured for our redemption. The body and the blood of Jesus live on in us. When we eat and drink together, this, my friends, is what we remember. So for a few moments, whomever you are with, whomever you may be sitting around, if you are by yourself, let's spend a few moments giving thanks and prayer, and then in thanks and with joy, eating and drinking. For the risen Christ is indeed among us. Let's do that now for a few moments. Each week we've also been talking about our offering. We have been given, and so we in turn give. Thank you so much to all of you who continue to give in the midst of our absence from one another, for either giving your tithe, your offering online on our website, or sending in your tithe, your offering that way. I am so grateful for that. If you read our newsletter this last week, you also read that our budgeted giving is still just about on target. So that's a great credit to you. Thank you for doing that. And please do continue, because the work here does indeed go on. So now's a great time for you to log on and give that way via our church website, or just a reminder to send something in the mail this week. Either way, we'll take care of that. And now a benediction as we close down our Easter gathering like this, before we are sent out away from our computer screens, our phones, our tablets, to go forth whatever God has for you next. Friends, Jesus continues to breathe new life into this world, even now. Today, at some point, I'm going to ask you to step outside if you can. If not, open a window or just pull back the curtains. Inhale a big, deep, slow breath, and allow the Spirit of God, which is closer to you than your own breath, fill your lungs. However many breath it takes, do so until you hear your name, either spoken aloud or you hear it inside your own spirit. And then when you do, exhale a word of thanksgiving to God. Give thanks to God. Brent, in a moment, will come and lead us one more time in our Lenten and now Easter song, A Common Love. And I promise you, I will not forget to have him come and sing that in a moment. My fault last week. I was just eager to click the end live video, I guess. But Brent is staring at me from my right now. He's going to make sure that he comes up here. Before we sing that song together one more time, hear these words. Jesus said, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not hold to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and sisters and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Let's sing together.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word.
Go forward in the peace and grace of God.